Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to being instantly well-informed.
Hello.
Today, we're cutting through all the noise and, frankly, the jargon of legal technology. We're going to look past the shiny new tools and focus on a really critical shift that law firms need to make.
Right.
And that's moving toward achieving measurable business outcomes.
Yeah, and it's so necessary because the downside of getting this wrong is just huge. We see it all the time. Tech implementations fail. Especially in these agile firms that are trying to compete.
Why is that?
Well, because they often introduce more complexity and these really high costs instead of just solving specific problems on a commercially sensible basis.
Mm-hmm.
So if a new system doesn't deliver a strong, you know, a measurable ROI, whether that's better efficiency or better client service, it's just expensive window dressing.
So our mission today is to unpack the practical roadmap for legal technology investment for you. We want to help you ensure that every choice is outcome focused and that it delivers tangible benefits. We're talking better value for clients, more engaging work for staff, and of course, a strong financial return for the firm.
And that brings us, I think, straight to the foundational principle here, which is outcomes over tools.
Okay.
Firms have to define their ideal business state. I mean, do you need to be faster, more profitable? Do you need to offer better service? And then you map current processes before you even talk to a vendor.
So the tech is just the delivery mechanism.
Exactly. It's the delivery mechanism for the outcome you've already defined.
Okay, let's unpack this a little, because if that's the consensus, why do firms constantly leap straight to buying the software? What's the human tendency we're fighting here?
We're fighting the temptation of the quick fix, the immediate fix. People assume that buying the latest software package is the solution.
Right. It's the answer in a box.
But without that mapping step, you're just automating chaos. If you start with the outcome, let's say I need to reduce the time spent on client reports by 50%, then you are forced to look at your current process.
And find the actual bottleneck.
And find the specific bottleneck that a tool can actually, you know, fix.
Now, that necessary step, that preliminary step, is process mapping. But the sources we looked at had a fantastic, really pragmatic tip on how not to do it.
Yes, and this is so crucial for keeping momentum. The temptation is to map your current and often, let's be honest, terrible processes in just agonizing, minute detail.
Right, every single click.
Every single click. And the insight here is, don't do that. Focusing too much on documenting all these historical inefficiencies, it just leads to paralysis.
You get bogged down.
Totally. Massive delays as people argue over these tiny immaterial points. The real value isn't in documenting the past. It's in designing the new process and moving immediately toward implementing it.
So just focus on making tangible progress right away.
That's it. Make immediate progress.
That makes perfect sense. So map just enough to see the pain, then focus your energy on that efficient future state. Can you give us a quick example, a connection between a pain point and the right kind of targeted solution?
Certainly. So if the pain point is that your team spends hours every week manually chasing down signatures and compiling documents, and there's a high risk of error, then your targeted solution is robust document automation and management.
Okay. And another one?
Conversely, if your client conversion is slow because your intake forms are just cumbersome and clunky, then digital intake forms are the targeted fix. That improves client satisfaction and increases your lead conversion rate. I mean, almost immediately.
With that framework in place, let's look at the components of the tech stack, starting with the practice management system, or PMS,
right,
which handles everything from matter management to billing.
The PMS is the backbone, for sure. But the selection criteria are what's critical, and that is flexibility and integration capabilities.
Okay, and why is that so important?
Well, the insight here is that you have to recognize that choosing a system that doesn't integrate well with other tools is, well, it's effectively vendor lock-in.
That's a really sophisticated takeaway. Why does that integration matter so much for the, you know, for the future of the firm?
Because if that PMS stops being the best option down the line, maybe the provider stops innovating or the pricing gets out of control.
Which happens.
It happens. It's far less daunting to switch providers if your core functions, like CRM or document assembly, are already integrated into this cohesive ecosystem that sort of lives independently of the main PMS.
So you're reducing your reliance on that one central system.
Exactly. And by doing that, you're securing your future agility.
So since we're stressing integration, which bolted-on systems are the most critical for delivering that immediate value? It sounds like document automation has to be right near the top.
Oh, it is. It's arguably one of the most impactful solutions precisely because it hits three core outcomes at the same time.
Okay, what are they?
It reduces manual drafting time, it improves legal consistency, and critically, it minimizes the risk of human error in all those boilerplate documents.
And that's a massive ROI right there.
Instantly.
Yeah. And this is where it gets really interesting, I think, because you have to distinguish between the basic document templates that are built into a PMS and, the truly advanced solutions.
Exactly. Advanced tools like, say, MitreTech's HotDocs or some of the low-code or no-code platforms like Cognito Forms, they offer really deep functionality.
So what can they do that a basic system can't?
For instance, Cognito Forms doesn't just do basic intake. It has advanced workflow and document automation functionality that often surpasses what a basic PMS can do.
And that lets small firms do what
It
exactly?
allows them to gather highly customized data and then instantly generate documents from it. I mean, you can embed an intake form on your website, and by the time the client clicks submit, the first draft of their foundational document is already done.
Wow.
That's competitive advantage right there,
Yeah.
and it's completely accessible now.
Okay, so moving from creating the documents to actually organizing the work, let's talk workflow management. This is about taking those repetitive admin processes and just ensuring predictable consistency every single time.
And the beauty of this part of the market is the rise of these reliable, accessible, low-code and no-code solutions. We're talking about really powerful tools that don't require an army of developers.
Like what?
Well, solutions like Cognito Forms, again, which has strong workflow capabilities, or Microsoft Power Automate, which is a great choice if you're already in the Microsoft 365 world.
And you'd use that for automating things like reminder emails.
Reminder emails through Outlook or document routing through SharePoint. Exactly. These tools, they act as the glue between your major systems.
But there's a critical reliability nuance we found when looking at the cutting edge, particularly around AI decision making. Everyone is buzzing about agentic AI workflows.
Yes, and this really requires some context. When we talk about agentic AI, we mean systems that are trying to take autonomous, self-directed action based on a goal.
They're supposed to make decisions.
They're meant to make
Yeah.
decisions. And the critical finding from the sources is that current agentic AI functionality for high-stakes decision-making is simply not ready. It's not there.
And you mentioned there was a specific high-cost trial that highlighted this failure just beautifully.
I did. This one advanced solution, it cost over $3,000 per person per year, was tasked with drafting sensitive emails in the user's personal style.
And how'd that go?
Well, the style was pitch perfect, but the AI kept agreeing to requests that should have been declined or, redirected to another person. It was, and I'm quoting, "always eager to please." It just couldn't handle the necessary nuance of a firm's operational policy.
So what's the conclusion?
The conclusion is firm. For critical legal processes, stick to simple, predictable, and reliable workflow automation. Don't give up control to systems that can't handle that complexity yet.
That failure story is actually deeply reassuring. If high-cost AI can't get basic decision-making right, it completely validates this pragmatic outcomes-first approach.
It really does.
So let's see this reliable stack in action. What can a mix of these low-code, no-code tools like Cognito Forms, HotDocs, Power Automate, what can they actually accomplish?
Okay, let's start with a really complex process, like a company liquidation. One firm used HotDocs Advance, and the genius was in the front-end design.
How so?
The user only entered the information one time, and that single data set was used to assemble all the key documents across the three distinct phases of the liquidation.
And then what happened to the documents?
All the finished documents were just automatically saved to their PMS, something like Action Step.
That efficiency gain, I mean, entering information once and generating documents for multiple phases, that has to be massive.
It's huge.
What about client intake? The family law onboarding example was really impressive.
Yeah, that example really highlights using these specialized tools as the glue. So the firm combined Cognito Forms for capturing the client data, Zapier for the integration piece, and then SharePoint for secure document storage.
So how did that work for the client?
The clients filled out their initial details, which went straight to the paralegal, and then later they could complete these highly detailed assets and liabilities forms, which automatically populated complex legal documents.
Like the affidavit of assets and liabilities.
Exactly. And the result is a seamless intake experience for the client and for the firm. Zero manual data reentry.
And the regulatory example, matter opening and AML compliance, that really flips the standard administrative process on its head.
This might be the best example of making compliance proactive instead of, you know, retrospective. Instead of relying on a fee earner to fill out a paper form days after the client is already onboarded.
Which they probably forget to do.
They often do. A dynamic form is used instead. It generates the engagement letter and requires the fee earner to complete a matter risk assessment at the same time.
Ah, so it's all in one workflow.
All in one. And if that assessment triggers the need for enhanced due diligence, the system automatically routes those specific details to the AML officer immediately. Compliance becomes a natural automated step.
These examples just underscore the whole strategy, don't they? Small firms can combine these accessible, flexible tools creatively to solve their specific, measurable business problems.
Yeah.
So, if we synthesize all of this into a practical roadmap for successful implementation, what are the, say, 5 key steps you need to follow?
Okay, first, you have to maintain that outcome focus and prioritize solutions that deliver tangible benefits now. Avoid being sold on future promises.
Right. What's next?
Second, mirror the agility of that small firm model. Start with smaller, manageable projects to get some quick wins. This builds team confidence and immediately shows the value of the investment.
So small wins build momentum. Number 3.
Third, select technology that emphasizes flexibility and strong integration capabilities. This is how you future-proof your systems against that vendor lock-in we talked about.
Makes sense. And number 4.
Fourth, you absolutely must invest in robust training and continuous support. The tech is, frankly, useless if your staff won't use it correctly.
And what's the final step?
Continuously evaluate and refine. Your business processes will change, and the technology providers are constantly releasing new enhancements. Staying alert just allows you to maximize your ROI over time.
What an illuminating deep dive. We started by acknowledging the common trap, which is adopting tools just for their own sake.
Mm-hmm.
And we've concluded that success in legal tech adoption stems entirely from rigorous outcome mapping and prioritizing practical, integrated, and most importantly, predictable solutions.
So what does this all mean for you listening? It means that careful, pragmatic planning and a focus on quick, iterative wins allows small firms to achieve results that are as good as, or honestly, often better than, those achieved by less agile, larger firms.
The ones stuck in those endless multi-million dollar implementations.
Exactly. Agility is the competitive advantage you were looking for.
That focus on pragmatic process mapping and achievable quick wins is the real takeaway here. And that leaves us with our final provocative thought for you to consider.
All right.
If smaller, more nimble organizations in law, or really in any field, can achieve such significant success through this outcomes-first iterative approach, how can massive, less agile organizations learn from this model and adopt it to rescue their own complex implementation projects?
Something to think about.
Something to mull over as you head back to your own work. Until next time, we'll be here reading the sources so you don't have to.